We're talking about getting rid of gadgets today. John, you have any Walkmans or how about 8-track players in your closet?
I got tons of that stuff. All kinds of microphones, CD players, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it makes quite a landfill. And we want to know what you have sort of kicking around at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org because it's environmentally significant.
Right, because we know that you talk about a carbon footprint. We think cars and aerosols and plastic bottles and all of those kinds of things. But what about your electronic footprint? Have you ever wondered about that? The question being, can you have your gadgets and be green too? It's something that Casey Harrell has thought a lot about. He's what you call a toxicity campaigner for Greenpeace. And yesterday, Greenpeace released its 9th edition of its Guide to Green Electronics. It's essentially a survey of corporate behavior on recycling, dangerous chemical use, and climate change. Good morning, Casey. Let's start with the toxicity campaigner. What's that?
Well, we work on a lot of different issues that are that involve reducing toxic chemicals and people's exposure to them. So when we saw how much different toxic chemicals were put into our electronics, and we have so many electronics, it was an issue that we began to pay attention to.
So tell us about the survey. Who came out looking very green and who didn't?
Well, our survey, we do it quarterly. These electronics companies, they love to be cutting edge and put out new products, you know, seemingly every week. Your new cell phone was outdated about 2 days after you bought it. And so,
or at least it feels that way, right?
Right. You have the new brand new thing coming around the block. So we keep our guide updated every quarter. So every 3 months we put it out. It's based on a set of criteria that needs to be on company websites. We talk to a lot of these major global companies, everything from Nokia to Sony to Apple to Microsoft to Dell, all the big names. But this needs to be stuff that consumers can see on their website, not backdoor, you know, conversations that they have with us. So it measures everything from, you know, what toxic chemicals are you phasing out of your products that have been identified as dangerous, and it also talks about, you know, energy efficiency. How energy efficient are the products that you're using? You know, electronics in general they contribute about 2% of the global greenhouse gas emissions that come through, which is
pretty significant. Can you say that again? How much?
2%, which, you know, is not insignificant. It's roughly the same as comes to us from all of our flying. The airline industry contributes about 2% as well. So it's not insignificant. This is mainly coming to when our gadgets are being used, not when they're being made. It's when they're being used and pulling a bunch of energy. So how energy efficient are these gadgets? You know, how everything from televisions to cell phones, iPods,
DVD players.
Exactly. And then finally, you know, when you can no longer use your gadget, where, you know, when it needs to go to the electronic graveyard in the sky, what happens to that gadget? You know, increasingly companies are coming out with really great policies that say, you know, hey, what, you know, just like our mothers told us, when you make a mess, you got to clean it up. And so they're taking financial responsibility for these goods. You know, you and I can log on to a lot of different websites here in the States. And if we've purchased it, like if we have an Apple laptop that no longer can be used, mm-hmm. Apple will pay for us to send it back to them so they can actually deal with it properly. We don't want these things burned in waste incinerators. They release their toxic chemicals. We don't want them dumped in.
Overall, though, Nokia scored pretty well, 7 out
That's
of 10
right.
points. And what is that company doing right?
Well, they're a company that only makes a small set of products. They don't make the whole gamut like a Sony or like a, you know, Panasonic or something like that. Nokia makes cell phones. They do it pretty well. They phased out a lot of toxic chemicals. They phased out things like PVC, plastic that when burned releases cancer-causing chemicals. They're pretty energy efficient, and they're doing by far the best job globally in terms of take-back programs, you know, establishing programs that can that don't charge consumers extra money to responsibly get rid of their goods once they're no longer being used.
Well, congratulations to Nokia, but there's also an argument that cell phones, all cell phones, are actually very environmentally damaging in sort of more tightly targeted ways. For instance, the element columbide tantalite, the coltan, which is used in all cell phones, is fueling civil war in Congo. It's tremendously toxic. It's mining produces all kinds of public health hazards. I mean, all these cell phones are bad.
That's true. And in a way, the white elephant with all of this is the amount of electronics that are being used. You know, I mean, I think that we can get a green electronic that, you know, and just for the record, coltan, which you're referring to in the Congo, the amount of coltan that's used that comes from the Congo is still relatively small, but as the resource gets more and more rare because we make more and more phones, it's going to put more and more pressure to go to places where there is conflict. It's kind of making the conflict diamond thing becoming a conflict electronic. But you know, the white elephant in the room here is that we can have a green electronic that's made without toxic chemicals, that runs energy efficiently, and, you know, these companies will come to your door and pick it up for you, you know. And the bottom line is that, you know, these things are designed for the dump, that we call it planned obsolescence, where, you know, just like I was saying, your brand-new cell phone, your brand-new laptop is outdated 2 weeks after you buy it. You know, where if we don't see a change in extending the life of these goods, you know, just like when, you know, my parents' generation, nothing ever broke. If it broke, you repaired it. You didn't buy a new one. You definitely didn't throw it away. And so until we can begin to extend the life of these, and actually we're seeing the opposite thing. You know, 10 years ago, a cell phone lasted us 4, 5, 6 years if you had one. Now you might have two, and you get a new one every 12 to 18 months. Same thing with laptops, desktop computers, et cetera.
And that's what's got to change.
Yeah, we've got to extend the life of these. And that's a much harder thing because these companies are more than willing to green their product line. But when you start talking to them about extending their product life, that's
a whole other question, because then you start denting into sales. But you're certainly bringing some awareness. Casey Harrell, thanks so much for joining us.
You betcha.
Casey Harrell is a toxicity campaigner at Greenpeace, and he is involved in the Guide to Green Electronics, the 9th edition of their survey of corporate behavior when it comes to green gadgets.
Makes you think about the landfill in your own life. Anyway, there's lots of ways to catch up with us at The Takeaway. You can find us on Twitter, Friend Feed, and Facebook.
And here's your takeaway today.
Now, Ben Bernanke won at one point the joking nickname of Helicopter Ben.
Helicopter Ben, that's helicoptering money and dumping it on people as a solution to the financial crisis. New York Times' David Leonhardt reminding us of Ben Bernanke's nickname. We suggested maybe the campaign's going to pick it up. We'll have Obama
we'll
and McCain
talking
about that.
But we have some thoughts from listeners on bailouts. We've been hearing from several of you, well, actually many, many of you in the last couple in this week. But Neil from Lexington, Mass. Says, the simplest explanation is greed. There you have it. What's your thought? 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji.